Antioch, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my joyful wife and a fervent studier of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Chag Sukkot Sameach, because we are on day 6 on the Hebrew lunar calendar, and we will finish our Sukkot study tonight by detailing the importance of the 7th and also the 8th day that ends on Thursday. Honestly, all serious Bible students must have some knowledge of these important days, for they are connecting bridge to understanding correct eschatology. Let us pray.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, who provides all our needs. Lord, may you drench us with your Mayim Hayim, living water of life. We covet your Holy Spirit presence tonight, and help us to better focus on the things that truly matter. We continue to pray for Israel's victory over their enemies. We lift up to you our recent prayer request and for the salvation of all our loved ones. We thank you for your many provisions, and may we prove worthy to receive them. We ask in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, update us on Israel.
Okay. So the crossfire attacks continue, but now another phase for the Israeli military, who on Sunday launched airstrikes on the branches of a major bank in Beirut, Lebanon, which is highly linked to Hezbollah. And they are escalating its military campaign to strike institutions that are part of the group's far-reaching network of economic and social influence, which offers Hezbollah financial services, including loans and ATM deposits or withdrawals to the Shiite community in Lebanon and the central Hezbollah's economic functioning.
So this bank was used to pay the salaries of Hezbollah operatives.
Big time. As well as approximately 300,000 people due to its many branches. And Israel is hoping the people will rise up against Hezbollah and secure its real Lebanon government, which right now acts in only the shadows under Hezbollah. Meanwhile, Blinken is once again in Israel, as usual, to push Israel into a ceasefire. But in a phone call last week, Biden Netanyahu to Trump, he said that he was glad he has not listened to Washington on everything.
But will he listen concerning retaliation on Iran?
Well, it seems so. Bibi says he will not bomb the oil ports or the nukes, rather military infrastructure. So I guess he listens sometimes when bribery is a major player, like the THAAD defense system we sent to Israel. And Russia has threatened Bibi not to attack as well.
Well, of course, because Israel depends on Iran for weapons against Ukraine.
Yes. They are becoming buddies, just like Ezekiel said they would.
And then there's the leaks.
Oh, right. What happened recently with the confidential intelligence information about Israel's plans against Iran? Well, it was leaked to Iran. And it seems improbable that Bibi will share any intel again.
Too many Jew haters in Washington.
Oh, exactly. Biden says they're doing an intense investigation. And down in Gaza, since the elimination of Hamas chief Yahya Sinwar, the IDF is ramping up their offensive to squeeze Hamas as tight as they can to release the hostages and end the war.
And finally, we want to encourage you to vote early.
Oh, we do. And we are sad to say that this election is more about good versus evil than ever in my lifetime. Over the weekend, Kamala held a rally when a couple voices hollered out, "Jesus is Lord," and she looked over at them and said, "Oh, guys, you're at the wrong rally. You should be down the street at the smaller one."
Well, you know, that says it all.
Oh, big time. For I know Donald Trump would have said yes. He is, and actually has, a number of times.
And so has J.D. Vance.
And did you see when Trump went to view the destruction in Asheville that some people laid hands on Trump and prayed over him?
Lord bless the recovery.
Oh. So anyway, tell your friends that don't like his personality or his imperfect demeanor to instead weigh in his policies. After all, we already saw Trump's leadership, as we have also seen hers. And he overwhelmingly tips the scales.
All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or call the office to leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
All right. As we pointed out last week, the Feast of Tabernacles goes by many descriptive phrases, as in the waving of the lulav, which we explained in detail.
Along with the house of the water porch.
And according to Zechariah 14, verse 16, this is the feast that all nations must celebrate in our coming kingdom in Jerusalem. Or, he says, no rain on their homeland. So obviously, there will eventually be many people in the millennial kingdom, especially since it'll be 993 years on earth. And children will be born, but without labor pains. How cool is that?
I know Egypt is specifically named.
It is, also in Zechariah 14. So no surprise, it is also called the Feast of All Nations.
Because it's for all people.
You know, when I was there last time, it was during the Feast of Tabernacles, and it was awesome to see so many nations bearing their costumes of their different cultures and carrying their national flags, who come yearly to celebrate in Jerusalem.
Also called the Feast of Dedication.
Oh, yes, because Solomon dedicated his temple on this feast.
Also called the Lesser Feast, the Greater Feast of Lights.
After all, Jesus was born on the first day of his celebration, where he is the light of the world. And by the way, the Lesser Feast of Lights is Hanukkah, which is when he was incarnated into Mary on the eighth day.
You know, God is such an amazing planner.
We say it a lot, and he reveals those plans to us. All we have to do is dig a little.
Yeah, and it's also called the Feast of Ingathering.
Because all the harvest is gathered in the fall season as a type of his righteous sheep in Matthew 25. To be gathered into his kingdom. And also like the parable in Matthew 13 of the separation between the wheat and the tares who are thrown in the fire. So again, when he returns, he will set up his kingdom on earth and will tabernacle physically with us again, this time as our literal ruler and king. We will partake in the marriage supper of the Lamb in that glorious season of joy. Some will be the bride. Well, actually, by then, we're called his wife.
Revelation 19:7.
And also the returned martyred saints in their resurrected bodies like ours. Others will be the survivors of the tribulation, still humans, as in the tribulation saints and the 144,000.
Aren't you glad that we are born again?
Oh, extremely so. In our archives is the study on the book of Haggai, where I taught extensively on the seventh day of Tabernacles called Hoshana Rabbah,
Tishri 21,
or as the scripture says, the 21st day of the seventh month. And in Haggai chapter 2, God very specifically chose Hoshana Rabbah to speak through Haggai that Zerubbabel's temple was not like Solomon's and absolutely nothing like the Messiah's coming temple will come after he shakes the nations in judgment. Again, God specifically made sure they and future generations knew what day it was.
So, obviously important.
Well, in fact, all the ceremonies are, and on the seventh day of Tabernacles, they're actually more elaborate and festive. And why is that?
Type Apology.
That's right, because it pictures the 7,000th year from Adam, when Jesus sets up his kingdom and will declare his deity. Now, jump back to when Jesus was here. According to John chapter 7, we know from verse 2, it was tabernacles. Then in verse 37, John tells us it was on the last day of the feast, the seventh day.
Now there is an eighth day.
Yeah, they call that an extra day for the Sabbath rest.
Yeah, from all that partying.
Well, God told them to be joyful. And this eighth day was ordained by God, by the way, in Leviticus 23, verse 39, whereas the first day, Tishri 15, was a high Sabbath day as well.
Which turns out to be the day of Yeshua's birth on earth.
It definitely is. Anyhow, Hosanna Rabbah means salvation now. And that morning, they had just been in the temple reading out of Jeremiah, which was the tradition on this seventh day, to complement the ceremony surrounding the living water that Jeremiah refers to in his chapter 17, verse 13.
Which we'll read in a moment.
We will, but first, let me recall to you, and I'm sure this is just bringing back a memory, that interesting episode that happened right after that temple service, as written in John 8, about, you know, the woman caught in adultery that was brought to Jesus.
The Pharisees said she should be stoned.
Yes. So, they wanted Yeshua's opinion. We know Yeshua forgave the woman, but we seldom discuss his writing in the dirt three times. And what was the meaning? Let's read that in John 8, beginning in verse 5.
Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one.
So what finally occurred to them, since no one accused her?
What did he write?
Well, I've heard many explanations, but most overlook a scripture from Jeremiah, again, which was always read on Hosanna Rabbah, for sure, in the first century. And they probably even listened to a sermon on it, particularly because Jeremiah speaks about the fountain of living waters, the Mayim Hayim, and that was that ceremony that we spoke about last week, which was an elaborate ceremony done on the seventh day of the feast, where the people circled the altar seven times. So let's read what they would have heard that morning in synagogue, Jeremiah 17, verse 13.
O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
Now, last week we explained the ceremony called the House of the Water Pouring. He more than likely wrote their names in the dirt, on this day, Hosanna Rabbah, because it represented being doomed to the grave.
So they dared not accuse her.
All right. In these often missed nuggets, time and time again, we can see that Yeshua taught the people deep messages of himself, especially during these festivals. So now you know, when someone brings it up, that he wrote their names and refer them to Jeremiah 17. And you know what? Try hard to remember that. Anyhow, these feasts were important for them.
Because God wanted them to be.
how much more important for us to learn about them and to see Jesus pictured in all the feasts and the awesomeness of God to have pre-planned these events so meticulously as a major teaching tool for you, for all of us. It's so phenomenal to me that we, and I know we often say this, about having to catch our breath whenever we comprehend all that he has maneuvered so that those who choose to can see him in a deeper, brighter, and more intense light. Again, this is why knowing your spiritual roots is such a blessing, because you discover the details of God.
Which truly does increase your faith.
Oh. So, this Thursday closes the official season of Tabernacles on the 8th and extra day of the feast, which is called Shemini Atzeret.
The Assembly of the 8th Day.
And also Simchat Torah.
Rejoicing in the Torah.
So, in Israel, they actually have two memorials on this 8th day. And according to the Jewish calendar, that is. But on our calendar and those not living in Israel, they memorial Simchat Torah on the ninth day. Apparently sometime in the 11th century, it was changed for those who live outside of Israel. Which is wrong, because the eighth day is special, according to Scripture, not the ninth day. Anyhow, the 21st day of Tishrei is the seventh and last day for mandatory dwelling in their sukkahs, and the first and the eighth day is a Sabbath day of rest as well, besides the regular Saturday Sabbath.
So, three Sabbaths in an eight-day period?
Yeah. Now, the Jewish people think the extra or eighth day is just because it's the ending day of this long feast. But if you are saved and know even just a little of your roots, we can also know why God set them apart, because the first day was his birthday. What is the eighth day then?
His circumcision.
Yes, an important date, for it is a typology of the blood covenant that Christ would later fulfill. And circumcisions were always done on the eighth day after birth, because the blood clots more quickly on the eighth day.
And only on the eighth day.
Right. Because vitamin K is at its peak, avoiding hemorrhaging. Now, today, hospitals give the babies a shot of vitamin K, of the boys. But still, God gave the orders way before they knew about the clotting, and even wrote it in his book.
Genesis 17:12.
This is something to use when witnessing to someone who thinks the Bible was just written by man and not inspired.
As so many other facts do as well.
Yep. So, Shemini Atzeret means the conclusion on the eighth day. And again, it's also a Sabbath rest. And then Simchat Torah means rejoicing in the Torah, because they finished reading the Torah in 1 year and then would begin all over in Genesis. And that's listed, by the way, on their calendars, the weekly Torah readings for the whole year. And still today, every Saturday, the same sequential reading of the five books of Moses is read all around the world in all the synagogues. So, on the eighth day of Tabernacles, again called Simchat Torah, they celebrate the finishing of reading Torah, you know, like in Deuteronomy 34, and begin all over again in Genesis 1.
Reminds them that the Torah is a circle,
which never ends, which is why it's on the eighth day, a number never ending. The number is also for eternity.
And Jesus' number is 8.
It surely is. A quote on a Jewish website says, "On Simchat Torah, we rejoice in the Torah, and the Torah rejoices in us. The Torah wants to dance, so we become the Torah's dancing feet. And I actually watched them in their black suits, side curls, and black hats, literally dancing in the streets and holding the Torah scrolls.
Quite a sight.
How fitting for us. He really is inside us.
Yeah, Jesus is the Torah.
Amen. Also, there's a famous song sung on the eighth day of this feast of joy, and it's called Sisu Vi Simku, which means, let us rejoice together on Simchat Torah and give honor to God's Torah.
And the song is on YouTube.
It is. It's easy to find. Just do a search for this song that's sung on Simchat Torah. And, by the way, this is pretty cool. The Gematria, as you probably know, is the numbering system of letters in both Greek and Hebrew. But did you know that every one of Jesus' names are divisible evenly by eight? And that's evenly, nothing left over. Now, an example is the Greek name for Jesus, meaning Savior, Jesus, equals 888, if you add it all up. In looking in Hebrew, the pattern remains. Jesus equals 1,480. Actually, that's Christ. And that's also equally divided by eight, as is Savior, as is Lord, as is Messiah, and there's others. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, a term which occurs 88 times in the Bible. And as the truth, which sums to 64, or 8 times 8.
You know, that's wild.
You know, the chances of just four of his names being divisible by 8 is 1 in 4,096. Like 8 times 8 times 8 times 8. And I think you get the picture. But also, the probability of this consistency simply occurring by accident would be 1 in about 2 million. Proof the scriptures must be and are divinely inspired. And as you know, 6 is the number of man. But we'll soon be a 7, the number of completion. But Jesus, he'll forever be an 8, meaning perfection. Oh my gosh, there's so much more I could say and it's connected to this festival of joy, but know this. You must make Jesus Lord of your life if you want to be part of the future kingdom represented and ushered in at the Feast of Tabernacles. Time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate and you don't just have a head knowledge. By having that passion to know him more, with a hunger to be in his word, his presence, our Torah Bible, remember, Jesus is the word. More word, more Jesus. It's that simple. Just do it. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. And also the traditional tabernacle's blessing is Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaHolam She'asah LiKol Zorki. There you have it, folks. God bless you all. And tell someone about Jesus because he loves you and he's coming soon. And the signs are all showing it everywhere. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.